Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+. And we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, I guess not everybody's going to be watching on Sunday. Marlon Humphrey says, I'm not even going to watch the game.
Yeah, okay.
I'm tired of watching the same team win. Then do something about it.
Yeah, you've had an opportunity, Marlon. Because I don't understand his tweet from yesterday that is making the rounds now, this morning. Hey, TMZ has picked up his tweet, just so
oh, really?
You know. Oh, yeah, that's how big it's gotten right now with him.
TMZ or TMZ Sports?
Both.
Oh, you're even double F'd.
You doubled up on that. And Marlon Humphrey tweeted yesterday, I have no reason saying this other than being a hater. The Bills are whatever.
He owned it.
And, yeah, right. The Bills are whatever NFC team got to beat the Chiefs. We can't let them keep getting away with this. And my whole thing was getting away with what?
Winning?
That's like getting away with anything. That's doing your job better than everybody else, right?
You got my head spinning. Because you said double up. And now I just want to open up the text line. What's the best thing to double up on? 7-4 in blackjack?
Yeah. It is.
And I don't know.
Like, yeah, you flop a 7 and a 4, you double down, and you get a 2.
Always. Or you get queen 10, I'll stay, and then it's a face card ace.
You're like, son of my God.
Yeah.
Or you split your queens, and you get nothing, and you bust on both of them.
How many casinos they got in New Orleans?
One, I think. I know they have a Harrah's down there.
Harrah's.
But like that's why I don't gamble, because I'm terrible at it, like with that kind of stuff. Anytime.
Not if you're using Underdog. Ooh. You're on a pretty big heater at that end.
I'm talking card games. Like, I'll stay on a 16 because the dealer's showing 17, and the dealer flops and then throws down an ace and gets an 18. Mm.
I'll stay. Sir, you have 6. The casino suggests you hit. I also like to live dangerously.
Yeah. Or you're playing blackjack and some idiot at the end of the table doesn't know how to play and they hit on 20.
I also kind of hate when you play blackjack, people tell you what to do.
But because you're all playing as a group, you know?
Yeah, I get
that. I kind of like that, but that's also because I've only played a few times.
But like sometimes before you even like can even think about your hand, they're like, stay.
That is annoying.
Okay,
yeah.
Daryl.
Yeah.
Like, let me at least count.
Yeah,
takes me a while.
The guy playing third base with the SIG hanging out, slamming, you know, high lives. You're like, all right, you've been
guy.
Here for a long time.
I respect the hell
that's
out
the
of that
guy you probably are listening to, right?
I'm going to look like Roy Munson in New Orleans at the bar, just hanging a SIG, seeing Bigger McCracken on the TV.
Right. But like that's the problem with blackjack, is that you're all playing together.
Yeah.
And a lot of times you're playing and there's idiots at the table.
Mm-hmm.
I got a 13. Stay. You need to hit that. He's showing a 16.
Mm.
You got a 13. That's not beating a 16.
Somebody says we should start a donation so that Spectre has to be the one that jumps through the flaming table. I mean, we could use some money for Jen.
Mm-hmm.
That'd probably get some dollar amounts
for
her.
Yeah, we could for BMA Foundation. Yeah, we could do that.
You want to see Spectre go through a flaming table before the game on Sunday?
Bring $100 bills up here.
Pew. Yeah. You bring a $100 bill, it'd be me on top of a table, and it won't be on fire. Get them down. Fact or fiction is a topic that we're going to do here because there are already storylines for next year's season, right? Last year's forecast yielded a few duds. Russell Wilson to the Raiders, Packers to the Super Bowl, Kirk Cousins to the Falcons. What are some fact or fictions that we can get into for next year?
Yeah. What do you got on that list, Mac? Attack.
The computer is archaic and older than I am, so okay. Not going to be able
great.
To help you out.
So fact or fiction, the New England Patriots will have at least 9 wins next year.
No, I'll go through the list that ESPN okay. thinks is what's going to happen.
All right.
Sam Darnold going to be a Raider.
Is there already reports that said they're moving on from him in Minnesota? Is that true? I don't know
yeah.
if those are clickbaits.
I saw a cartoon meme where he was on a beach with some of the other players who have been eliminated.
I will say fictional fact. I don't think he's gonna be a Raider, but I think he'll be somebody else's quarterback.
He won't be in Minnesota. Yeah, I think so too. If he does become a Raider, do you care?
No. I don't know if that's dodging the question, but no, I mean, if he's a Raider, sweet.
I mean, like, if he becomes a Raider, I'm fine with that, right? You're good
yeah.
with that?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I could care less.
Because I don't even know who the coach is there, and I don't even know who the offensive coordinator will
right,
be there.
Exactly.
I think he'll be a Titan, so I'll go fiction.
All right. Aaron Rodgers will retire.
Fiction. He ain't going out like that. His last 2 years in the league were an injury on the third play of the game, and his other one, he had his decent year but didn't really have anything to show for it, and he can go ruin another team. He ain't going anywhere. If he's out of the league, he's irrelevant.
Oh, gosh.
You do realize that. If he's not playing football, he's irrelevant.
No, you're right. Yeah, for that reason, I'll go with him. God,
you think he's
going to
stay? See, here's what I think. I don't think anybody wants him, and I think the rest of the league is like, we're done with him.
That's the where?
So does he retire, or is he just told, sorry, there's no more room for you at the inn?
He goes to Pittsburgh.
No, Pittsburgh don't want him.
Okay. I don't think they would do it.
Could you imagine that next year? That roller coaster, Tomlin and Rodgers.
No. Tomlin would quit.
Turning his 2 weeks.
Yeah, he really would. Yeah.
Oh, and by the way, I'm also going to go on my 2 week vacation as well.
Yeah.
You can't do. I just did.
Yeah. I'll be honest with you. If I'm a head coach in the NFL, and most of them are idiots, but I would say if I'm a head coach in the NFL, I don't want that guy here. He will ruin the franchise. He ruined the Jets. He ruined the Packers. He ruined Robert Saleh. He ruined Joe Douglas. All of those guys.
Are you on ESPN over there? Do you see the loudmouth going nuts? The caption says, do you think the Chiefs get favorable calls? And Mad Dog Russo's just going nuts and Saturday's a shame. There's audio for tomorrow's show.
Yeah, right there, Mad Dog Russo already going off. Text Alex and see if Mad Dog will come on with us because, you know, I think that's the guy that needs to come into this kind of octagon because I think I would debate the pants off of Mad Dog.
He's probably mad that Caitlin Clark doesn't know who signed the Treaty of Versailles.
That's probably true, yeah. If you're not
does she even know the Louisiana Purchase?
Right, this guy apologized for saying Caitlin Clark hasn't been a Chiefs fan, but then said, but she doesn't know about Super Bowl I.
Yeah. You know that they got the Louisiana Purchase? That's where they're playing the Super Bowl? I'm chiefed out. You need to be chiefed out.
Yeah, he does. He seriously does.
Fact or fiction, Chris Russo will join the show tomorrow.
Fact. Justin Fields will sign with the Steelers and then Pittsburgh drafts a quarterback.
I'll give you a little bit of fact there.
Okay. I think so, too. I think that does happen. I think they stick with Justin Fields. I do.
Yeah. I think fact.
I think they found a little gadget in him that they can use. Yeah. I think he's still kind of lost in the NFL. It's too fast for him. But again, if he's only got to have, like, what? He's a Marcus Mariota type. Mm-hmm. Go in there, end of the season, rest your starters, or go in there and get me a tush push or a QB sneak. Why not?
Yeah.
If you can trust him to do it, then just keep him around and pay him cheap.
Colts end the 11-year AFC South drought. They haven't won that league in 11 years.
Jeez.
Jags, Titans.
Texans, Colts.
Fiction.
Yeah, because the Texans are going to have everybody back next year. Maybe not Tank Dell for half the season or the whole season, maybe. I don't know. But Houston's good. They got CJ. They're the best situation.
Yeah, they do.
They got to get over this crying from the referees, but, you know, they don't blame the South for anything, just the Chiefs.
Yeah. Here's the final thing I'll leave you with. Bears sign Trey Smith.
God, that offensive line needs help if Caleb's going to have any sort of chance. Ben Johnson.
I think it's him or New England, but I'm going to go New England because they have more cap and they have more money. And Trey Smith's going to set the guard market $25 million.
Yeah, Trey's going to outprice himself here, unless he just wants to be here and says, just make your best offer. But I don't think that's the case, and it shouldn't be the case.
No.
Should not be the case.
Get your money.
He takes the highest offer ever, so go do it. Tyreek Hill, traded from Dolphins to Patriots.
Fiction. He's not going to Patriots. He can't play in cold weather anymore.
Yeah,
he just can't play anymore.
Well,
he's going to Tampa.
You think he's going to Tampa?
He's going to Tampa Bay.
What gives?
They've got money. He tweeted about going to Tampa, only 3 hours away, and they need another wide receiver. Kind of works.
Yeah,
him and Mike Evans together would be pretty fun.
And Godwin,
he'll be free agent.
Oh.
So they kind of replace.
Gotcha. How old is Tyreek? Is he 30 yet?
He'll be 31 next season, I believe.
Ooh,
yeah, so kind of starts the, yep, this is it.
Fact or fiction, he'll be the number one player in the NFL next year in the top 100. Because it was fact this year.
Does he make the top 100 next year?
Oh, yeah, he'll make top 25 somehow,
based on not this past season.
No, yeah, exactly.
No.
Tyreek Hill, top 100 player in the NFL anymore? Not based on what he did last year.
Aaron Rodgers made the top 100.
He shouldn't be in that list at all.
Gosh, he better
Aaron
not
Rodgers,
be.
Daniel Jones shouldn't have been on that list.
Was he? I was going to say, I can't remember. I don't know for a fact if that's like a troll
job.
That
was like the Emily's moving to Indiana reaction, yes, and DeAndre Hopkins is coming to the Chiefs. Daniel Jones?
Fact or fiction, DeAndre Hopkins and or Juju Smith-Schuster will be on this roster next year.
Fiction, maybe?
Yeah, I'll go fiction. I don't know. It could be fact.
Yeah.
Well, it's going to be one or the other, right?
Well, we'll find out. Coming up on the other side, Josh Allen, what you have to do to get him out of his comfort zone. Mac will explain on the other side here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Fesco, Dusty, and Mac.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your new home for K-State Athletics, 96.5, The Fan.
Diving right back into it, 9:17 on a Wednesday. Don't forget, you can go to our poll question over on 96.5, The Fan, or The Fan 96.5. You can also check us out. 1,600 people currently are on the YouTube page, the Twitch, Facebook, if you want to see our beautiful faces. The question we asked today, Chiefs fans, yes or no? Is Josh Allen the one opposing quarterback that gives you doubt? 65.4% say yes. It's okay to admit that.
Yeah, it's the one that gives me doubt, too. Nobody else.
That's why we're here.
That's why I'd like to know who the other 30-some percent are choosing with. If you answered no, who else is there right now?
Speaking of saying no, Buccaneers offensive coordinator Liam Cohen is taking himself out of the running for the Jaguars head coaching job to stay in Tampa on a new contract that will now place him amongst the highest paid coordinators in the NFL. Bucks are keeping their OC for another year. He will then become the new Ben Johnson next year.
Well, I think either that or they've replaced Todd Bowles down there. What's this guy? Leonard Cohen, you said? The guy who sings Hallelujah?
Liam Cohen.
Oh, I never heard of the guy.
Never heard of him.
And he's a guy that nobody knows and has withdrawn from an opportunity to take the Jacksonville job. Now, they could be deep down the road with Robert Saleh, and they probably told him, hey, maybe we're going to go in a different direction, so he pulled out before anything happened.
Always smart to do.
Always smart to do, right? You still look like a conquering hero, yet, you know, you go out your way. So where I was going with this is it, but if he decided to pull out because he didn't like what he was hearing from Jacksonville, that can't be a good sign. Like a guy that nobody knows is pulling out because he doesn't like what's going on in Jacksonville. I don't know that I'd want that job.
Nobody knows it, Mac.
No one knows, man.
Nerds like you do.
We're nerds, man.
No one knew Dave Canales either.
Who? Yeah.
Dave Canales.
Yeah. Another guy that'll be fired here in the 5 minutes.
Never heard of him.
Again, when you're talking about cap space next year, your top five people with cap space, Patriots, Raiders, Commanders, Chargers, Cardinals.
Don't the Raiders have to eventually spend their cap space, though? Like, aren't we in this every year with the Raiders where they need to spend a certain amount of money because they're cheap and they're not spending enough? Like, you have to spend 80% of the cap.
Well, that would give you your... fact or fiction, some fact, if they go get Kirk Cousins, because that's an expensive contract. You want Darnold over there?
Well, that's what the fact or fiction, yeah.
Kirk Cousins is...
Is that a rumor, too?
I mean, where's he going to go?
Yeah, he's on TV. He was really good, they said, on ESPN the other day.
He was good.
Yeah, well, so is a lot of people, but they still have time left in their athletic life, and I doubt Kirk Cousins is done playing football. I just can't really see him going to Vegas, though, like his lifestyle.
Yeah. I agree.
I don't think that's like a city I guess he went to Atlanta. That's kind of rough sometimes. Like, it gets rowdy in Atlanta, you know?
I mean, we'll look at it in a couple of weeks, but I mean, I think Bob mentioned it with Rodgers earlier. There's just not lot of places that need a quarterback. They're either going to get drafted. They've got one in the hopper. Like, there's just, it's not.
Well, there are teams that, though, kind of do need a quarterback.
Do the Cardinals,
the Giants, the Jets being two at the top of the list that need a quarterback.
With the Cardinals on this list, do they go get somebody like Kirk Cousins to kind of put a fear in Kyler Murray to
what,
be like,
what list are you looking at?
The top five most salary cap space available.
Oh, the Cardinals are on that list,
it's,
you said?
New England, Vegas, Commanders, Chargers, and Cardinals.
Well, I think you need to upgrade in the desert at quarterback. I don't think Kyler's any good, so, but I don't think they're ready to make that.
That's
move
scary.
Yet.
Washington's on there with their quarterback in the NFC Championship game. Yeah, he's on his rookie deal.
Dude.
Hello. Yeah. And they still have Scary Terry and Zacrecious, and they have Byron Robinson Jr. at running back. They're going to go amp up on the defense, though.
Exactly. Pass rush, secondary, 100%. They were number three in my max pack for a reason.
That's a lot of money to have available for a good team, too.
Same with the Chargers. I mean, what do you do there? You go get some more weapons for Herbert, or do you go get some more? Got to do something there.
I think the Chargers' biggest need is quarterback, but that's just me. You know? I mean, you can't have these performances in the playoffs and still be considered a good quarterback. Like, I mean, that's why it's so big for Josh Allen on Sunday, right? I mean, if he has the ball with 3.5 minutes to go down four and has the opportunity to move down the field and lead his team on a game-winning drive and doesn't do it.
Mm-hmm.
What are we going to be saying about Josh Allen on Monday? It ain't anybody else's fault. Like, I think Mac mentioned it earlier. Like, every time that Josh has lost in the playoffs, it's been somebody else to blame. The kicker, the defense, the coach, the that. He's probably going to be in position to have himself the opportunity to have a game-winning drive on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
Will he be able to do it? And if he doesn't do it, then he's not a top quarterback. We have to stop giving petals and flowers out for guys who put up nice stats and are good in the regular season. Eventually, you have to slay the dragon. And if you don't, you're just not in that same category.
I think he's far and away the second-best quarterback in the NFL. I think that Burrow is good. I think that Lamar is good. I think that you could have a conversation that Daniels is probably your fifth-best quarterback in the league right now.
Mm-hmm.
Some people would disagree with that. But, man, the reason why that Twitter question is up about doubt is because that's why I think everybody feels this way about this game. I think everybody knows that if there's one guy that if you had to say could do it to the Kansas City Chiefs, it's Josh Allen. He hasn't done it yet. Our boss, who was in here earlier, thinks he does it this year because time is inevitable and it's going to happen. Eventually, you can't beat, you know, can't win 14 Super Bowls. You can win three in a row. Buffalo lost four consecutive Super Bowls, and everyone would have thought maybe by year three, year four, that this is their time.
And that's the point right there. Like, nothing's inevitable. They lost four straight Super Bowls. You would think winning one of those would have been inevitable, right?
That's what they think. I mean, Andy Reid went to four NFC championships, won one, never won a Super Bowl in Philadelphia.
Right.
Right.
Like, nothing's guaranteed.
No.
Nothing's inevitable. Nothing is in sports because it's time for that. Like, when those Ravens players were saying it's inevitable that Lamar's going to win one, based on what?
Yeah. There's more legs to this Cohen thing from Schefter. It gets
even this Trent Baalke guy. There, you know, is
it
that
says
what?
Jacksonville is in the midst of conducting a second in-person head coach interview this week with Liam Cohen, who's now out, as well as former Raiders defensive coach Patrick Graham and former Jets head coach Robert Saleh. So those are there three people that they're interested in.
Okay, so you fired Doug Peterson,
mm-hmm.
and you've got Robert Saleh.
Mm-hmm.
And some other guy that I never, Patrick Peterson?
Ryan Graham. I don't even think that's his name.
Patrick Graham? Is that what you said?
Yeah.
Never heard of him.
Defensive coordinator.
Yeah, I have no idea.
Former Raiders defensive coordinator. That ought to go well.
Yeah, what?
With the first pick of the 2026 draft, the Jacksonville Jaguars select Arch Manning, quarterback, Texas.
Unless that's what you're trying to do.
I mean, I don't know. I mean,
but like, again, there's no guarantees that Arch Manning's going to be any good in the NFL. The odds are actually he's not going to be very good in the NFL.
Yep.
No doubt.
So if you suck for luck, that's the dumbest stuff I've ever heard.
This is it. Don't get scared now.
Josh Allen, biggest game of his career. Might be the biggest game at Arrowhead. Steven Spector would say that it was the rematch against Cincinnati when they were calling it Burrowhead and Mahomes on one leg.
There was more hatred going into that game.
Yeah.
I wanted to win, but you can't create the magnitude of this game.
This is an historic game. This is a chance to go to a three-peat. This is a chance for number 17 for Buffalo to end that dream or that journey of a three-peat. He can stop history in more ways than one. He can stop a history of a three-peat for the Kansas City Chiefs, and he can stop the history of being Josh Allen can't beat Mahomes in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. If you were ever going to beat Patrick Mahomes in the playoffs, this is the one that would nip all the past away. This is, well, no one will go in there and be like, well, he's 1-3 against Mahomes in the playoffs. He got the one win. No. Joe Burrow got one win.
And he's still living off
it. And everybody's like, well, there's only one guy that they fear, and that's because he's done it before. Allen has lost three previous times to Mahomes. Last year at his house, the two previous in the years before. Out of those three games, the Chiefs have lost the next game. Obviously, the Cincinnati, and then they lost the Super Bowl to Tom Brady. Last year, they won, and they ended up beating Baltimore, and then they won the Super Bowl. But there's also history on the other side of the sideline with Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs. He would become the second most winning quarterback in the playoffs in the history, just behind Tom Brady. Another record that he would be chasing. He would pass Montana. He'd be 17-3. It's just mind-blowing.
And what is Brady, a 31 playoff wins or something like that?
Something high like that. Yeah. 31, 33.
He basically has to double his playoff wins to get Tom Brady. That's wild. Wow. Right.
And he's only playing like three games. Divisional, championship.
That's right.
And Super Bowl. But again, the three-peat. Mahomes becomes the second most winning quarterback in playoff history. Beating Josh Allen would do that. That's another mark. That would then be the point where it'd be like the Monday conversation we would have if that happens would be he just can't get it done in the playoffs. The regular season, that's awesome. But the playoffs where it matters, can you ever do it? The winner of this game is probably going to win the Super Bowl, in my opinion. Now, I know that Philadelphia would be the favorites right now in Vegas. I can make sense of that.
Why are they the favorite right now?
I can tell you.
Okay.
Because Buffalo and Kansas City have to play each other. So one of those teams is losing.
Right.
Philadelphia is playing a rookie quarterback. They think they can go to the Super Bowl. Then they would have to play either the winner of Buffalo or Kansas City. They don't know who that will be. So they have the easiest route, according to Vegas, to go to the Super Bowl. That's why they are the favorite to win it.
I don't know that they do have the easiest route, though. There's nothing worse than playing a team that has nothing to lose. And that's Washington. They can go out there and do whatever they want. They weren't expected to be there. There's no pressure on them whatsoever. Mm-hmm. They've got a rookie quarterback and a first-year head coach and a new ownership. And I mean, they can go out there and do anything. Like, Washington's going to be playing free and clear. The Philadelphia Eagles probably going to be playing a little tight on Sunday, because if they lose that game, then you lost to a rookie quarterback. You lost to a team that wasn't supposed to be there. You're checking your own self. They're going to be talking about firing the coach, trading the quarterback. Like, Philly's playing with a lot of pressure in this game.
No, I mean, I would say, who do you think has more pressure, Philadelphia or Buffalo?
Philadelphia. I think Philadelphia does.
I would lean Buffalo. Philly's been in the Super Bowl with this regime.
I know, but in Buffalo, they're not talking about trading the quarterback and firing the coach every five minutes.
That's
like
true.
You lose this game,
yeah.
And the whole narrative in Philadelphia is going to be Jalen Hurts isn't the guy, and Nick Sirianni blows, and we got to move on from both of them.
That's true.
So, no, I think Philadelphia does have a lot of outside pressure to win that football game because of who they're playing. If Josh Allen loses to Patrick Mahomes, you may not like it in Buffalo, and you may think, oh, here we go again. But you lost to Patrick Mahomes. You didn't lose to somebody who just came on the scene with a new franchise, all of that stuff. Philadelphia, especially being a division rival, having that game at home, I think there's more pressure on Philadelphia than anybody to win in the postseason from that negative noise aspect of things. If the Chiefs lose, yeah, it's going to suck, but they'll regroup and they'll be fine. Philadelphia loses, they may burn the whole franchise down in that city.
Yeah,
you know?
People will lose jobs if Philadelphia loses. Yeah, that's fair. That's a good point.
Mm-hmm. More pressure on Mahomes or Allen to win this game?
Well, to me, it's Patrick, because I don't know that he's ever going to be in this situation again. I think Josh Allen will have a chance to play to go to the Super Bowl many times going forward. So will Mahomes. But I don't know that Patrick's going to have an opportunity to do it when a three-peat is on the line, because you have to win one again, then two again. Like, you can't take a break from the three-peat and win it again next year. It's like, oh, well, we three-peated in four. No, it doesn't work that way. So I think it's up to Patrick Mahomes to accomplish something that nobody's ever been able to accomplish before.
We heard Sal Capaccio earlier. We'll play some cuts of his a little bit later here in the segment. But Mahomes and company haven't turned the ball over since week 11. Coincidentally, mm-hmm. That was against Buffalo. Buffalo prize on turnovers. The Chiefs have the number one scoring defense. Buffalo has the number two scoring defense. If Kansas City doesn't turn the ball over, Buffalo's in trouble.
Big trouble.
And if Buffalo gets, or I should say, if the Chiefs can get pressure to Josh Allen, Mac, Josh Allen and Buffalo is in trouble. Now, again, Sal Capaccio has talked about the right tackle being back, and they've really used Cook in a running game that's been a little bit more better, or been better since, you know, they've had the addition to that team. They ran the ball really well. Against Baltimore, they ran the ball really well against, I mean, they did everything really well against Denver. That's not really that much of an outlier there. But pressure to Josh Allen gets him to second guess, And then if he can second guess, then Buffalo turns the ball over. And this game will be who does the turnover first, who makes the crucial turnover. I know that's probably cliche for football, but two teams and two quarterbacks that play pretty clean and have played pretty clean basically all year, who's going to make that turnover and who's going to be under the pressure more often than not? If Josh Allen is that quarterback, advantage Chiefs.
100%. Josh Allen has gotten so much better, like Mahomes has over the years, at taking those checkdowns, matriculating the ball down the field. It's okay, I'm going to take a 6 minutes of possession. I don't need a 40-yard gain here. Hey, 6 yards is fine. Let's just move the chains. If they can get Josh Allen feeling like he has to play like Superman early, and okay, oh, I'm going to extend this play. Oh, I'm going to try and force this ball in a tight gap here, tight window. That is how they can get Josh Allen to start making mistakes, start feel like he has to do everything. And you mentioned the run. If they can stop James Cook, he's going to feel like he has to do everything even more.
And I feel like I'm kind of with you on that. I feel like if it comes down to who's going to try to play hero ball, it's going to be Josh Allen.
Yep.
It's not going to be Patrick Mahomes, because Patrick doesn't need to go out there and be a hero. He just needs to go out there and get the ball to 87.
Yep.
I mean, that's really all he needs to do. And he also understands that he can ride the back of his defense as well, which is finally like that next step of Patrick Mahomes. He hit that last year, I think, after the Raider game, but still understands it more, I think even more so now this year, that he doesn't have to go out there and play hero ball. And that's kind of what we saw. You know, you go back to some of these games that, you know, why teams lose. And that's what Lamar tried to do. He tried to be a hero in that game. And by trying to be a hero, he played outside of himself and ended up ultimately costing his team the game by those questionable decisions that he made with the interception, with the fumble, with the bad pass to Derrick Henry and all that kind of stuff. Like, you can't go out there and act like this is a huge game and play like it's something you've never experienced before. You got to go out there and do and be who you are. And I think Josh Allen, if he falls down early and the Chiefs are stopping the run, he's going to feel like he needs to play hero ball. And when that starts to happen, man, you just can't ever regroup.
And somebody in the text line says, hey, Dusty, quit trying to speak Buffalo victory into existence. I'm not saying
no,
they're going to win.
No, he's not doing that. He's having a conversation.
And I don't think they're going to win. I think the Chiefs' defense is better, which is massively huge. I think they have the better defensive line, which can cause pressure to Josh Allen. I still think they win this game. And people will say, hey, you know, who's lost the last games for Buffalo? I get it. Not always been Josh Allen's fault. But again, like, this is a game in which Josh Allen, it will be a different style of game, because this is a, I cannot lose this game. Enough is enough, and it's time for a change. To shout out the late, great Owen Hart. But this is one of those things where, like, I think the pressure on Allen to win this game is more than it is for Mahomes. And I'm not disagreeing with your comment is.
Yeah.
And I do think that the three-peat is there. But this is one of those things where it's like, can I do it? Can I be the guy that finally goes in there in the AFC Championship game, like Burrow, like Brady, those quarterbacks before me that have done it? Can I do it? If there is pressure on Josh Allen up the middle, or making him kind of get, you know, out of his spot and do things, I know he can run the ball, but look, man, you've got a crazy SOB on that linebacking corner, Leo Chenal, who should have 17 in his radar the entire game. Nick Bolton can manage the middle of that field, and then you have Charles Omenihu, Karlaftis. And DK Uzama's been decent.
He's had a really nice game last week.
Wharton, your guy as well. Chris Jones, we haven't mentioned him yet. Can you be disruptive in that game?
And Mike Dana will make a play in this one
as well. And not only that, Mahomes threw 177 yards last week. 117 went to Kelsey, and they still won the game.
Right.
So again, I don't think the Buffalo is going to win this game, because I think the defense will be the deciding factor in this game, either causing a turnover or taking away what Josh Allen has been able to do to other teams. And again, last time they played this team, 30-21 was a loss.
Like, that game is so irrelevant.
It was 23-21, and the Chiefs were missing four or five key players.
And so was Buffalo. And one of those, obviously, is our kicker in that game. And I like our odds going into the game, knowing we need to rely on Harrison Butker. Mm-hmm. They are relying on Sal Bass to go out there and get the job done. So I just don't see the Chiefs losing this football game, obviously. And if something were to go wrong, it's because they did turn the ball over. I think, you know, Sal's right. Everybody's right who's talking about the turnovers today. The team that turns the ball over probably isn't going to get a victory in this game.
This was Capaccio on the feeling in Buffalo.
I think the conversation is, you know, simply one of you got to finally do this, right? I mean, you have a chance to go to Arrowhead and, you know, slay the dragon. And we've been here before, whether it's in Buffalo or in Kansas City. We know how the seasons have ended. I think there's a lot of, you know, there's confidence that the Bills can beat the Chiefs because they have beaten the Chiefs, but there's also a lot of nervousness because we know how things have turned out in the past in these types of situations. I think there's also the element of, hey, do it for America, as you guys know, right? I mean, right. That's what that people just don't want to see the Chiefs there again. And, you know, I just think there's so much that goes on in this matchup and this game and all the different storylines with it. But that's really what it comes down to, guys, is, hey, you know you can beat this team, but you haven't done it in this situation, and now it's time.
So that's the feeling in Buffalo, just like we just talked about. Like, yeah, it's the regular season's irrelevant. The playoffs are when it matters, and when you want your legacy to be stood above time against everybody else, like Flacco did it once with Baltimore, right? Roethlisberger did it, and his legacy was forever stapled in the history of football because he got two rings. He did it in the era of Brady and Manning. Those are two guys that have done it in that era, right? They actually got it done. It's so rare and so hard to do against greatness that that's, to me, why there's so much pressure to Allen, because you had mentioned the Chiefs now are playing in their seventh consecutive AFC championship game. Enjoy this ride.
Yeah.
Buffalo is playing in their second in the Josh Allen Mahomes era. Second.
Mm-hmm.
Both times will be in Kansas City. Can you get it done? Because you never know if you'll be back again, because the talent that is rising in the NFL – hell, you look at what Washington's doing with their new quarterback, right? You saw what L.A., the Chargers, did with their first year with Jim Harbaugh. You got to think they're going to figure out what they can do to stay relevant. Bo Nix and Sean Payton are turning the page quicker and quicker.
It doesn't get easier, yeah.
Right? So, yeah, it's not the same game in the regular season, and there's reasons for that. Capaccio also talked about the reinforcements on Buffalo's side as well.
Here's who the players for the Bills missed and the Kansas City Chiefs missed in the last game. There's five really notable players for each team. For the Bills, Matt Milano, Spencer Brown, Dalton Kincaid, Keon Coleman, and Juwan Smoot. None of them played. For the Chiefs, Isaiah Pacheco, Marquise Brown, Jalen Watson, Charles Omenihu, Harrison Butker. I mean, really, like that's a totally different, you know, it's you know, basically 5 out of 11 guys if you want to go one side of the ball there. Either way, for the Bills, I think Spencer Brown being out that game was big. Now, listen, Ryan Vandermark did a really nice job. But Spencer Brown is a really good right tackle, guys, and he helps their running game a ton. And one of the biggest differences was the Bills could not run the ball against the Chiefs that game. And, you know, outside of Josh Allen, I think they had less than 3 yards of carry. But the Bills have been very good running the ball most of the year. They've been very good against the two best rush defenses in the NFL the last two playoff games. They did a really good job against the Broncos and the Ravens.
Is this going to be one of those games where the running backs actually matter?
It might be.
With like a Kareem Hunt Pacheco combination and a Cook combination with Josh Allen on Buffalo, where it's like, obviously running makes the clock go faster and keeps your time possession, which we talked about earlier, time possession, very key in this. Wonder if we're underscoring the running back position in this matchup.
We may be, but we also know that Andy Reid never lets the running back, you know, kind of do their thing, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, more often than not, there's never, but, you know, establishing the run is not necessarily our forte here in Kansas City. I'd like it to be. I like running the football. I like the two-headed monster that we have back there with Kareem Hunt and Isaiah Pacheco. I think it's a really good offensive weapon for this team to be able to utilize those guys, especially when it's going to be a little bit colder and both of those guys run hard and they're not afraid to run through you either. That's the benefit, you know, that the Chiefs have on this. They're not finesse running backs. They're kick-your-ass running backs. And if you want to try to tackle me, I'm going to make it difficult on you.
I would just like to see the Chiefs have the odds of the lead towards the end of the game, and then you just use that as like a bullpen.
Yeah.
Pacheco for two, first down, Kareem Hunt for two, third and short, get it. Just keep controlling the clock the best way you can with those running backs. They can just be hard hitters. They can really take the life out of a defense in Buffalo. Because like you get Milano's back. Mm-hmm. I think he's going to spy Mahomes, try to make sure he doesn't get out and do those Patrick runs.
He's going to cover Kelsey, too. So
can't cover them all.
No, we'll see. I mean, we'll see what Milano decides to do. But again, I've been hearing about Matt Milano for 5 years now, and every game he's been injured. This is like, all right, now we actually get to see if Matt Milano truly does make a difference. But it just comes – it really does. It's going to come back to quarterback play. Who plays the best, who doesn't turn it over, and who puts their teams in the best possible situations to win a game. It really does. It comes down to coach and quarterback and all of this stuff.
Raiders, Saints, and Jags, all without head coaches. The Jets head coach will be announced later this week. It sounds like it's going to be Aaron Glenn.
Yeah, it looks like he's telling people, according to Josina Anderson, huh?
Yeah, he's planning to take the Jets job as early as yesterday, per multiple sources.
As early as yesterday? Yeah. I was going to take the Jets job yesterday, too. It just didn't happen, right?
No doubt. No doubt.
But, you know, he's telling everybody he's pretty much got this thing wrapped up. And, so, you know,
they're going the defensive route again.
I don't know what I think about that hire for the Jets. Like, that's where I am.
Oh, I like it.
Like, the Bears and the Jets, I think they just needed somebody who's been a head coach before in those type of situations. Like, I think Aaron Glenn's going to be a really good head coach, But I think Aaron Glenn would be a really good head coach, not in that situation in New York.
I would say what would hire him for me is the fact that he faced adversity losing all those players and still kept that team together defensively.
Yeah, he did a great job with that, man. He really did. And so I've been a big fan of him since I watched him on Hard Knocks a couple of years ago, and he was kind of a star of that. I think he's going to be a really good head coach. I just hate to wish the Jets upon him. I know he played there, first round draft pick, all that kind of stuff, and yada, yada, yada. But man, it is a tough job. Like Aaron Glenn, go coach in Jacksonville for a couple of years, you know, get your sea legs under you where there's no pressure. Tomorrow, as soon as he takes that Jets job, they're going to start wanting to fire Aaron Glenn.
Better record next year as a new head coach. Ben Johnson in Chicago, Aaron Glenn in New York.
Who's the quarterback in New York?
I don't know. That I don't know.
Yeah, I don't have an answer for that until I know the quarterback in New
York. Zach Wilson. Just kidding. Either way you want to look at it, we'll come back on the other side. We'll finish up the show here on Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
Fesco and Dusty.
I can feel it all the way down in my plums.
On Kansas City's FM sports station, 96.5 The Fan.
It's a semi-charmed kind of life on a Wednesday here in Kansas City as we gear up for what is the game of the year. And last year, if you want to count 2024 in this.
Yeah.
Mahomes versus Allen, Bills versus Chiefs. What's the better tagline? Bills versus Chiefs or Mahomes versus Allen?
Mahomes versus Allen, there's no question.
But it's a team sport.
Yeah, that's why they always use the quarterback, yeah, right?
The hell it is.
It's like baseball. You go, oh, I'm going to go watch Bobby Witt Jr. The Royals going to win. Who's the starting pitcher today?
That's about Garrett Cole.
Yeah, it's all about the starting pitcher in baseball. It's all about the quarterback. It's all about the goalies in hockey, too, man. Speaking of hockey, did you see that game last night where the goaltender got distracted because somebody threw a plate of nachos on the ice?
Damn.
And the guy skated, like, through the plate of nachos, shot the puck over the nachos, and scored.
With some chi on it?
Yes.
Nice.
First of all, why are you throwing your nachos on the ice?
Maybe the cheese was cold. You ever had cheese that got cold with your nachos? Can't
every
eat it
time
anymore.
You go to Kauffman Stadium.
Can't eat it anymore. I mean, it's got to be hot.
Why are you throwing your nachos on the ice? And then they landed face up. Guy skates right through him, shoots the puck right over. Goaltender's pointing at the thing of nachos. Puck goes right by him. Now, they won the game 3-2, but still, man, call timeout.
Yeah. I'll see your knuckle puck and raise you a cheese puck. Mighty Ducks, Mac. Mighty Ducks. Gordon Bombay. Still irrelevant to you, I know.
Yeah, I'm sorry, man.
He's more interested in Liam Cohen than he is in the great movie like The Mighty Ducks.
True.
Somebody that needs to watch The Mighty Ducks are these Bills YouTubers.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Buffalo Bills and Kansas City Chiefs referee has been assigned, and this is worst case scenario. Now, to be completely honest with you, Bills fans knew going into this that we would be fighting the Kansas City Chiefs plus their most valuable player, and that just so happens to be the officiating squad. Well, let's just say that Kansas City brought their first ballot Hall of Famer, Cleet Blakeman. Now, Cleet is refereed a Buffalo Bills game already this year, and it was the Bills and the Jets game at home in Buffalo where the Buffalo Bills hung up about 40 points. He's also known for refereeing that Thanksgiving game against the Detroit Lions where there was a lot of questionable calls, more specifically on the Lions' side of the ball than the Buffalo Bills. Spoiler alert, that Bills team ended up winning. Now, with Kansas City, he actually has a really good record, or rather, the Chiefs have a good record with him. Did not officiate a single Chiefs game this year, but the last game he did was the Christmas Day upset when the Las Vegas Raiders beat the Kansas City Chiefs in 2023.
But the Chiefs,
for the most part, a staggering record. Now, to get an idea of his favorite flags, here is a short list. Most notably, unnecessary roughness and also defensive pass interference, so something to think about. But hey, we knew this going in. Mm-hmm. Sound off in the comments and let me know your thoughts. But
no, thanks.
Cleet Blakeman, he's the dude.
Cleet Blakeman looks like the kind of guy that comes around and dates your mother for like 2 months and then you never see him again. Like, whatever happened to that one guy? Who, Cleet? Yeah, he's down at the local bar still.
Yeah, I'm not interested in who the referee is in this game at all. And I love the fact that people are now pouring into this kind of stuff. The Chiefs since Andy Reid have taken over won almost 71% of their games.
Mm.
Doesn't matter who's refereeing.
That's what we're doing. The 2024 101 awards are out.
Mm-hmm.
Clark Hunt was on Good Morning Football with that crew. The AFC Coach of the Year is Andy Reid.
Yep.
The NFC Coach of the Year is Kevin O'Connell.
Mm-hmm.
The Offensive Player of the Year in the AFC is Lamar Jackson. The NFC Offensive Player of the Year is Saquon Barkley.
Yeah.
The AFC Defensive Player of the Year, Pat Surtain II. the NFC Defensive Player of the Year, Kirby Joseph.
Hmm, okay.
So all those guys will be in Kansas City at some point in February doing that nice little black tie event.
Yeah.
Andy Reid gets a Coach of the Year where it matters.
the AFC Coach of the Year. Like, I love how they're getting ahead of it all going, Andy's Coach of the Year, just so everybody knows. Who else would you pick in the AFC over Andy Reid? Well, let me pick somebody who went 7-9 and, you know, was an offensive coordinator 2 years ago and will be fired in 2 years. But boy, he went 7-9 with an unnamed quarterback. That's your Coach of the Year.
I would say his opponent in this game on Sunday would be the other one.
But yeah, it could be. But I mean, 15-1 versus 13-4, sure. You know, I'm not counting that last game of the season. Andy's got the home field advantage. I mean, look, man, Andy Reid's your Coach of the Year in the NFL. I don't want to hear the noise from anybody else that anybody else is going to be in that category. And what Andy Reid did this year as the head coach of the Kansas City Chiefs is pretty freaking remarkable.
Yeah. With a target as large as it can be.
With a target, with injuries, back. With everything that's gone on with this team. You know, we've talked about all of these guys that weren't here for that Baltimore game. How about all these guys that just haven't been here for the entire season? You've essentially played an entire year without wide receiver one and without wide receiver two. You never had one game and with Hollywood Brown and Rashi Rice together.
And you had a running back who went and got off the streets.
That's right, because your star running back broke his ankle in week two. You've had to make a left guard move to left tackle.
Mm-hmm. Defensive tackle that was out for essentially like 8-9 weeks of the season.
Right.
Maybe longer.
Yep. Half the year at least, came back finally, making everybody else better on that team. I just don't think
people... I need more. I need to see more.
It really is like, if you don't understand what Andy Reid this year did to go 15-2 through all the injuries and everybody with the big target on their back coming after them, like it's nobody's business. Like, I don't know what more needs to be said about how good Andy Reid has been as the head coach of this football team. You find me another coach, probably outside of Mike Tomlin, that's going to find a way to win as many games as Andy Reid did with no wide receivers, no running back. I mean, the offensive line being in shambles.
A rookie wide receiver.
Yeah, rookie wide receiver leading the way. But he was supposed to be like three, right? Mm-hmm. Like maybe even four on your depth chart by the time it was all said and done. And you had to have a rookie come out and be your number one wide receiver. He led the team with 9 touchdowns. Mm-hmm. You had a running back that was sleeping on the couch and woke up because somebody got hurt. The offensive line movements, the defensive injuries, the kicker injuries. And they're 15-1 when it mattered. And people are going to tell me somebody did a better job than Andy Reid coaching their team this year?
Somebody also says, Cleet Blakeman sounds like an NPC on Red Dead Redemption. I never played that game, great. But I get the reference.
That's fantastic.
And then someone from 314 says, that guy sounds like he needs a Vegemite sandwich for that D-bag.
I don't think we can wish that on anybody.
Oh, come on. Well, yeah, it did kind of linger for about 2 hours.
Dude, it was rough.
Wrong answers only. Cleet Blakeman does what?
Roots for the Bills.
Yeah, apparently.
Roots for Buffalo. But it's good to know when
his
talking to Sal.
Flags?
Like, we're not hearing from the Bills this week talking about that,
no.
Right? We're not going to hear from Buffalo talking about that. Yes, they will say this crew calls these penalties more often than not, which every team does. But you're not going to hear Buffalo lament the fact that we have to overcome the referees to beat the Kansas City Chiefs. They know well enough that they don't have to overcome the referees. They've got to overcome the Chiefs. And trying to overcome the Chiefs is harder than trying to overcome a referee.
Because
you're never overcoming the referees.
Funny old Chief alert. Jared Allen was on Jim Rome's show today. And he said, quote, I got baptized not just by fire. I got baptized by the beast himself. Jared Allen talks battling Hall of Famer Willie Rowe in practice as one of the toughest guys he went up against during his NFL career.
Best matchups I've ever seen in practice were Willie Rowe against Jared Allen. Because,
I figured that would strike a nerve.
They were. I'll never forget being in River Falls and watching Willie Rowe and Jared Allen and how frustrated Jared Allen would get. Because Willie Rowe couldn't walk, okay? He walked like he was on eggshells all the time. And then the huddle would break. He'd run out there. He'd line up. And like he basically used just one hand and pushed Jared out to the side. And Jared Allen could never get by Willie Rowe. And those battles in training camp, God, they were so much fun. I don't know that I've seen better one-on-one battles than Willie Rowe and Jared Allen going at it in River Falls and then seeing Allen rip his helmet off and get frustrated. And Willie just kind of laugh.
Like, there's nothing you can do.
Nobody could get by Willie Rowe.
An immovable object.
Oh, he was the best.
Cleet Blakeman was a member of the 1919 Black Sox.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
It sounds like somebody who played baseball back in the 60s.
Yeah. Or goes door-to-door selling you something that he does not believe in. Do you want to try this pyramid scheme? No. See the no soliciting sign?
Yeah. How'd you like to buy a vacuum cleaner?
Yeah, you're never overcoming the refs. That's what she said.
You are, though.
Well, yeah. And you can also overcome being mean. You can go do something nice for somebody today just out of the kindness of your heart, because you never know, it could change their day, week, month, or even their year. It is simply...
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Cool to care. Kansas City, stay warm, stay safe, stay kind. Coming up next, Cody Golden Drew from 10 to 2.